Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. And you can find today's post, Rule or Be Ruled, right there on the front page if you miss any of these days. Of course, you can find the audio archives at Sermon Audio or on our Sermons button there and Vision Radio. You can easily navigate the site. But you can go to Vision Blog or the Daily Blog there, and you can see this copy. Again, Rule or Be Ruled. Or if you miss it the day that it airs, or it's airing at a different time, you're looking at it at a different time, you can find the archives there. They're usually coded by their name, and of course there's keywords and always the scripture theme reference that we're using. It'll be labeled as that as well. Like today's is Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. In other words, easy to be invaded, easy to be taken over, easy to be set on fire. The book of Proverbs repeats itself in many different contexts, and this verse parallels Proverbs 16:32. And what am I talking about today? Well, again, let's read the verse. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Talking about feelings and emotions and self-control. And I realize that it takes some time to develop these things. I'm talking about doing spiritual battle here and growing and developing in the Christian faith. And one of the ways we do that is not by getting a stiff upper lip. It's by understanding how to rule ourselves. Paul talked very clearly about that in the first Corinthians chapter 9, he rules over his body. He puts it under subjection, and his emotions and his feelings go along with that. Those things were secondary things. His inner man, the new man, putting him on. And that takes a while, we know that. And self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Temperance means self-control, Galatians 5:23. And to be tossed about with, you know, on every whim of emotion makes us vulnerable to attack, and we have no defense. It says, a man who has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Remember, they had to rebuild the wall at Jerusalem, and Nehemiah had them using a sword and a trowel. Because, believe me, you start building up walls, the pressure's going to get more, because they know, you know, your enemy knows that they need to get you while the getting's good. And I'm not talking about putting up emotional walls today. I'm saying this, that if you cannot control yourself, others will always control you. If you can't control your passions, like anger, for instance, you can't focus on resisting the enemy, and we become caught up in a world of self-induced slavery by whatever a man has overcome. That is which he is enslaved. 2 Peter 2:19, I believe, there. Again, if you can't control yourself, others will always control you. If everyone can push your buttons, perhaps you have too many. On the contrary, again, self-control is identified as a fruit of the Spirit. And that's, you know, it's really sad when, you know, it grieves me to hear of people who always have to vent their anger. I just need to vent. You know, the truth is, you don't have to vent if you're already ventilated. Are you like a cool breeze or a hothouse? Allowing your thought life to be controlled by your expectations is going to lead to anger. For that's what unmet expectations engender, is anger. That's what anger, that's the basis for it, is unmet expectations. You know, you try to do something. I was just trying to do something nice. Oh boy, now you're getting angry. And I realize this is a process. We have the outreach of the gospel, and we have the inreach of the gospel, where the gospel is making penetration into us, where we stop lying as much as we were. We stop stealing. We stop doing these things. We start, you know, we don't cheat on our taxes. Then we don't speed. Then we don't, do whatever. Some of you may not have been there yet. And I'm not trying to yell at you for not being on this side of the pool. I'm saying, come on, do you need a hand? We need to live this out in front of other people, but the inreach of the gospel changes. Again, it's putting off the old man and putting on the new man who's created in righteousness and true holiness. But people think they're never going to change, and they think, I'm always just going to be this way. This is just the way God made me. No, friend, this is the way sin made you. You don't have to vent if you're already ventilated. Allowing your thought life, again, to be controlled by your expectations is going to lead to anger, and we've got to keep on maturing in the ways of God. We got to keep moving and keep growing. And, you know, Peter says, keep growing in grace, and Paul says, be rooted and grounded in the Word, and let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And as these things happen, we start to change. We're not there all the way yet. You know, we haven't arrived, but praise God we've left. Paul says as much in Philippians chapter 3, I have not yet gotten there. But one thing I do, I forget what's behind. I press on towards the mark of the high call for the prize of God in Christ Jesus. And he says we hang around other people that act like this. We do what we know how to do, and we avoid those that are not wanting to change. You know, again, there's so much we could look at, so many scriptures we could reference here, but we've got to keep maturing in the ways of God. And I'm talking about that being a normative pattern. But it just doesn't seem like we're seeing that in the Christian world today. It seems like the moment there's any conflict and discord, people toss off all religious pretense and go after each other with the same fervor and passion as the unregenerate who don't even claim Christ. It's like, oh, I'm a Christian, and someone takes your parking space. And all of a sudden, you're not a Christian. When it comes to your money, usually that's what it is. Your rights and all that. And then we're ruled, just like an unregenerate person would do. We shouldn't even have that button on us, folks. And we might, but we can put that thing down. Put that thing to death. Crucify the flesh. Jesus said, Satan has nothing in me. Now, Satan, does he have an outpost in you? Is there a place where a button he can push, and he knows what to do because he's been watching you and watching the game film, as it were, because you're his opponent, and he's running the replays over and over again. He says, when I do this, look what happens. And when that's not working, he does something else. Satan's always going to go for the most vulnerable part he knows of, and he's always looking for something else. Are you giving him, you know, the gas can and a match and saying, go ahead, light me on fire, get me angry, get me sad, get me ruled by my own emotions? Satan's going to try and inflame the flesh, excite the passions, and arouse the emotions. And if you have self-control, number 9, I like to call it, you know, again, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or, you know, self-control, number 9 there. It seems like that's the last one that comes aboard, isn't it? And in a sense, it sort of is. And we've got to keep growing in that thing. But the more, you know, you let Christ reign in your life, the more, you know, that God's going to reign, you know, it's going to be joyous in your life. And there's things that's going to turn you off and all of that. I understand that. But the more you learn self-control, you know, self-denial, self-control, you disarm the enemy. But you know what happens? People get hit with a little flaming arrow, and they go, oh, I'm down, and it's a little toy arrow. You know, I've heard the stories where they train the big elephants, and they keep them back with a big chain, and then eventually that chain just becomes a little rope and almost nothing, because they're so used to it, it doesn't take much to hold them down. What does it take to stop you, friend? What does it take before you go, oh, woe is me, I'm hit? I'm not saying having a stiff upper lip. I'm not saying denying your emotions. I'm not saying that these things don't happen. I'm saying you need to be self-controlled about it. And too often we want to go, oh no, oh help, oh, I'm being attacked by the devil, before they even let a situation play itself out. It's the end of the world. Well, it's the end of the game if you're just going to fumble the ball and not pick it back up and lay down on the ground. As Christians, we don't need to be drama kings and queens, I got to tell you. We don't need to immediately go into attention-getting mode. The only prize that real-life drama kings and queens win is the crown of self-pity. That's the thing. We've got to rule or be ruled. If you can't control yourself, others are always going to be able to control you. And if you try to control every situation, you're controlled by every situation. So you can't just make your nice little, cute little world where nothing's going to happen. Isn't it happen that way? You know, the Bible talks about bitterness suddenly springing up. Because time doesn't heal the bitterness wound, you've got to go in and cut that root and then get rid of those seeds and everything on the ground and all the old fruit and all that and burn it and get rid of it. Because you could be thinking, I'm doing good today. Okay, whew, I'm over all that yelling and screaming from yesterday. And then one thing and bang, you're back on fire for the devil, as it were. And if you just wouldn't have done that, you might say, it's not true. It's not true. The ruler just stepped out for a little while and then came back and started ruling you again. You got to rule or you will be ruled. You know, the Bible talks about exercising yourself unto godliness. And it talks about bodily exercise has a little bit of benefit, but godliness has promise for the life that now is and the life that is to come. But we need to exercise. You've heard it. Exercise self-control. Think about that. Exercise it. Work it out. Keep it in shape. Don't get used to letting go, but get trained to staying in control of your emotions. Now, again, I'm not talking about being a stoic, a monk-like robot with a steely, stiff upper lip. And I'm not talking about being, you know, a monk like in a monastery where, you know, you just eliminate all the distractions and all the things that could do. No, you have to be inoculated to the poison. You have to be able to have it come at you and it not affect you. Now, again, emotions aren't bad. Emotions are God-given gifts. But they've got to be the caboose, not the engine. They need to be used properly and understood, not just given into without any thought. Sometimes, you know, it's right to be grieving, and it's right to be crying, and it's right to be angry in a sense. The Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. Jesus was angry, but it was righteous indignation. There's a difference there. But if we just go immediately into boy cried wolf, it's the end of the world, oh, woe is me. I mean, you're going to lose friends. You're going to lose respect. And you're going to lose out on the power of God. He's trying to change you in that area. They could take your joy. We need to learn the process things better before we just go off about them. Because that's what happens all the time. You know, I see it happen, and it's happened in my own life. And as the inreach of the gospel happens in my life, I find that as the Holy Spirit is changing me, and I'm asking Him to do it, and I see situations, then that's where the test is. It's like, okay, are you just going to let that thing go? I think about a ruler coming down a parade route, let's say. People are throwing tomatoes or something like that. Now, is he going to get out of the chariot and run down and go get that guy? Or is he going to say, hey, look, this is my parade. I'm the ruler. You can do this, but I'm still ultimately in control. So you might get a lot of tomatoes getting thrown at you, but you need to stay in the chariot, my friend, not go chasing every little whim. You got to keep that king-like anointing, if we could say it that way. You got to learn to process things. Learn the difference between a pebble, a rock, a stone, and a boulder. You know, yes, things can hurt your feelings, but I want you to remember something. In the long run, what counts is not how you feel, but how you deal. It's not how you feel. It's how you deal. Rule or be ruled. If you can't control yourself, others will always control you. Are you under the control of Jesus Christ and His Word today? I sure hope so. You can email me, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org. That's all the time we have for this broadcast. We'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast. God bless you. Rule over yourself today by the power of God. Amen.
Oh, yes, I'm glad to know my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where I'm always gonna be, right here at the right hand of the Father of life.
We'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.